We also would like to greet each one in Christ's name, and it is good to be together with God's people. And this morning, the subject matter that we want to talk about is anointing with oil. Get these cords out of my way. And what we want to do this morning is to look primarily in the book of James chapter 5 where it talks about anointing with oil, and then we want to see what he's talking about. And specifically this morning what we want to look at is what he's talking about in James 5 as to what that anointing with oil refers to. So we're going to have it up on the overhead looking out. You can read on there, but I also would like, if you would, turn in your Bibles and kind of follow along, and then maybe you can even make some notes and underline some verses as we go along. And I'm going to give a couple of you just a little bit of warning, not much, but I'm going to ask Junior Hirschberger, and then I'm going to ask, we'll ask Jay, if y'all would come up just a little bit here. Both of you come at the same time, and then I've got, I'd like you to read about six verses each. And then after you read it, you can go ahead and sit right down. And then Tim Hirschberger is going to come up then and read some more verses out of James. But I'll ask for you separate from Junior and from Jay. But as we look at Scripture, and as you, if you would go down and look and find the verses that have to do with anointing, it's always, from what I could find, noted as a good thing to have the anointing of oil put on you. In the Old Testament, they did a lot of anointing of things and also people. But then also in the New Testament, it talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes on our lives. That's different than what I'm talking about today, but anytime you look at anointing, it's always looked at as a positive thing. But what we want to look at today is the anointing with oil as it pertains to healing. And if you hear what I'm saying, I said as it pertains to healing, we would like to think physical healing. And it does include that, but what I'd like to draw your minds to as we go through here this morning is that it can even be much more than that. Because God in His Word is true. There's no question that God's Word is 100% truth, and it always does work. John 9 verse 6 is the story of where Jesus healed the blind man of his blindness, but he took mud. I guess that could have been the anointing oil there. But he made dirt and spit and put it on the guy's eyes, and the guy was healed. So that was kind of neat. In Mark 6 actually is probably the only other passage in the New Testament, though, besides there in James 5, that it would talk about the anointing with oil for the healing of the sick. So those two passages in Mark 6:13 and then in James 5, where we're going to be reading out of today, are the only two in the New Testament that would talk about specifically the healing by anointing with oil. There is a story told, and y'all have probably heard me saying it, some of you, but it's told of the man and his wife that were out in a small boat, out in the middle of the big water, and a storm came up and started just hammering him. And the waves were coming. You know how it would be when you're out in the water and a storm comes up and the wind starts blowing. And it got so bad to where it was bad. And the husband finally looked at the wife and he said, "Honey, we're going to have to pray." And she looked at him in all seriousness and said, "Really? Has it really come down to that? Is it? It's that bad, right?" The point being is, so often when we look at the subject of anointing with oil, it's kind of like something we do as a last rite. It's like, yeah, you heard that John over here and Susie over here, they're fixing to draw their last breath, and let's quick call in the preachers and anoint them and kind of say a prayer over them so they can die. Well, I'd like to propose to y'all this morning, brothers and sisters, that it's much, much more than that. And I think sometimes the reason we don't do more of it is because we don't really know and we haven't been taught what it actually is for and when would be the appropriate times to have an anointing service and to be anointed with oil. Okay, Jay and Junior, it is your time to come forward if you would, please. And Jay, I've got it up here if you want, and I would like you to read in James 5, the first 6 verses. And then Junior, I would like you to read verses 7 through 11. So if y'all go ahead and read that.
James 5, verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the ministry, because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you fail to pay, the workmen who have mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you.
Okay, you can go ahead and sit down. Now Junior's going to read, and take note when Junior starts reading and just see if you can tell a difference in what Jay read to what Junior is going to be reading in his section.
7 to 12?
Yes.
Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, an example of patience in the face of Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord's finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, nor by earth, nor by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Or you will be condemned.
Okay, thank you, Junior. Okay, as you're looking at that passage, someone want to venture out and say what you picked up from the part Jay read to the part Junior read? Anyone? Anything that just jumped out at you? I've had more time to study it than you did. The first part, what Jay read, appears to be talking, James appears to be talking to people maybe who were not believers. Possibly. So kind of keep that in mind as we look at this morning. And then the verses that Junior read starts out, says, be patient then, brothers. And in verse 1, he just says, now listen, you rich people. And I'm not going to talk much about this at all because this is not my subject, but I just can't help but back up a little bit when I look at a passage and to see kind of what he's talking about before he gets into the specific anointing with oil. But it seems like he's talking about someone there in those first several verses that is just out living for themselves. It very much does not feel like this is someone who has professed the name of Jesus Christ and is living out the life of Christ within him as he goes about his day-to-day duty. And we talked about that in our international Sunday school lesson, and going through the quarterlies, those of you in those classes. I'm talking about faith and works. And here it very much feels like these people that he's talking about in verse 1 through 6 are those that are not exercising any kind of faith, but it's all about themselves. All right. Tim, you want to come up and you want to read for us? And as he reads, he's going to read verses 12 through 16. And think about verse 12 where it says, above all, brothers. Go ahead. 12 through 16.
Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
All right. Thank you, Tim. That's quite some powerful words that James wrote to us, is it not? He made some very definitive statements in those things that he said there and what Tim read. I would like to look at verse 12 where he says, above all, brothers. Could it be, and I know what we look at so often is when he says, above all, brothers, do not swear. And I think that's correct. And again, that is not the subject matter this morning. It says the letter yea be yea or nay be nay. But listen, if you would, as we go through here, and I present this idea to you, and that is this. Above all, brothers, do not swear. Above all, brothers, are you in trouble? Pray. Above all, brothers, are you happy? Sing songs. Above all, my brothers, is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church. I thought it was interesting to take that above all and to add it to those extra things that we're talking about this morning about being happy, and because those things, if we would take that serious as an above all, that as we live our life, above all, if we're sick, we ask for anointing. Above all, if we're happy, we're going to sing songs. And so on. So think of that as we go through this morning. And as we get towards the last part of the message this morning, I want to look at several things about anointing with oil, of what it is, what it isn't, how it's supposed to be administered, and so on. And who's it for, and so on. But let's go just through this here, a couple verses here, and I'm not going to read the last verses 17 through 20. We will leave that alone and talk about Elijah and how he prayed, and the earth gave up raining, and then later he prayed again, and the earth started bringing forth rain again. But in verse 15, it says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. It's almost like when you're looking here, in verse 16, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another. It almost seems like maybe James wanted to put that in somewhere before verse 16, which we know as scripture was written, there was not chapters and verses and so on. But it's almost like this confessing your sins to one another should be in before it is, but yet it needs to be in where it is, in the placement that it is. But just going through and just simply reading this says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And so you might say, well, I've been at an anointing service and it didn't work. And I know we've had several anointing services here, and it would be interesting to, if we'd have time, to give people a chance that were anointed of how God very definitely moved in a very miraculous way. That has happened here, we know that. But it says that their sins will be forgiven. Well, what does that mean? It says the prayer offered in faith. Well, if you're going to pray in true faith, then your sins will have been forgiven. Because you cannot pray in true faith with something in your life called sin that is blocking the door of your heart. And that's why then he goes to verse 16 and says, therefore confess your sins to one another. Very much he's talking to believers here. And very much this flies in the face of someone or people who would say that we as believers, we're sinless. And there are those people out there that would say that we are free of sin. And Scripture, as I see it, and you wouldn't have to read real far into 1 John, in the book of 1 John, to see that that's not like that. We have to do something else with some other Scriptures if we're going to believe that we as God's people that have named the name of Christ, that we are now sinless. That we would have sinless perfection. At some point, we will have that when we meet Christ, when we go to heaven. But on this earth, we are freed from sin. We are freed from the chains and the bonds of sin. But as we go through life, there are times that we will sin. That is why we need to confess our sins. That's 1 John says, if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So there is something to not allowing sin to rule and to reign in our bodies. So when I see this thing of talking about the prayer of faith and then that you confess your sins, in order to have a true prayer of faith, your heart has to be right. And also as we look at this, when we do an anointing service, it is imperative that all of those people who are in that group, that are in that service, that we spend a little bit of time, and when I say a little bit of time, we just spend time to make sure that everyone's heart is pure and clean and right before God. Not sinless perfection, but that we have laid everything on the line and that there's nothing that we know of that is holding and blocking communication between us and God. So that being said, if someone would come up and ask me as a pastor, as an elder, as it calls it here, to have an anointing service for healing for them, and that person does not express a living, vibrant faith in Jesus Christ through His shed blood, then I cannot do and be a part of an anointing service based on James chapter 5. It is something that is only for the believers. It is an exclusive thing. So we have to be clear of that. It is an exclusive thing for the one that is requesting anointing, that they're clear, that they have a relationship with God. And it can be that there might be something in their life that is blocking them at that point. But then when they ask for this anointing, and then we get together with whoever is in this group, that we all spend some time and we search our hearts, we search and ask God to reveal anything to us that would be sin in our lives. That has to be in order for James 5 to be effective. So therefore, a non-believer is not eligible to be anointed with oil. It's a waste of time. I'm sorry. It's just a waste of time. And another thing I thought was interesting in this passage, it says to ask for the elders of the church to come and to anoint you with oil. So in that, I thought that was kind of interesting. At the very least, there's some kind of a connection with this person who is asking for this anointing, that he or she is a part of something that is greater than him or herself. Okay? It's not just somebody that out here names the name of Christ and they just go hither and yon. They're not connected with a local body. But it's someone who would be able to ask for the elder, who could ask for the leader in their local body. I thought that was of interest. Note, it doesn't say anything about you have to be a church member at a certain church or you have to be a member of a church in order to be asked for anointing. But it does talk about asking for the elders to come or the elder to come. So there is, at the very least, a connection there with you as the one asking for the anointing to the one that is going to be doing the anointing. Well, it says the prayer often in faith, to pray in true faith again, we have to be committed to Jesus Christ. All of our sins will have to have been forgiven. Anything that we would know of that would be in our life that would be contrary to God and His Word, that we have a mindset we have or that we have done, those have to be confessed in order for this to be even begin to be effective. Now, we say, well, I've seen where there was a healing service, anointing with oil, and the person was not healed. Yeah, they were. All the healing, and I think of many of you know Steve and Nina Winger. They used to come here a lot. But I keep going back to what I heard her saying when we had anointing service for her cancer. And she was healed. But it did come back. But during that time that we did the anointing, she said that even Lazarus was healed, right? He was raised from the dead by Jesus. Is Lazarus still alive today? No, he's not. At some point, Lazarus still died and was buried. So any healing that comes from an anointing service is only temporary at best. I look at Ruth and I think of Gary and I'm like, Gary died. But Gary has been healed. He got the best healing there was. Yeah, it left behind a hole. But Gary was healed. God took him and said, I'm through with him on this earth. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him home with me. So without minimizing Scripture and saying, well, this healing and this healing service and this anointing with oil is just, it's not worth it. It is. It's very much worthwhile. And I think so often we don't use it because we don't understand it. And it is not, I want to be quick to say that it is not a command. You know, there's Scripture that talks about you do thus and thus and thus and their commands, to where if we don't obey, it's sin. The anointing with oil is not one like that. It says anyone that is sick, he should call. It's like you've got this option as a believer that you can do that. But what I was thinking of when, as I was going through this, is when we think of having anointing service for healing, someone has cancer or whatever the sickness is, we think of it as a service to where we're focused on that particular person being healed of that particular ailment, that particular disease. But what about it, brothers and sisters? What about it if you are facing some type of sickness, some kind of ailment, and you're like, I don't know. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't know. I'll just pray, and I'll tell other people maybe just to pray with me. Because, I just don't like all that attention. Could it be that if and when you do that, you're actually going against what God might be asking you to do? Benita shared this morning about when your heart is thumping, when it's racing, that tells you better talk up. Or the Holy Spirit saying, you need to do something. You need to do something with something in the situation that you're in. And I think that's very true, that the Holy Spirit does work in ways like that. But could it be that when the Holy Spirit presses upon you to ask for the elders of the church to come and to have an anointing service, that it's maybe not about you. It's not about you, maybe the one that has this ailment. But maybe, just maybe, you're the quote center of the attention, as it were. But maybe by you being there, and then you're going to ask John and Susie and Jane and Joe and whoever else that is going to be in that anointing service, to where you would be anointed with oil and their hands laid on you and prayed for you. Could it be that that very get together that we have, because of you having asked for it, and what I said earlier about each one of us checking our own hearts, checking our own lives, and to see if there be any wicked way in me, could it be that by you asking and requesting for an anointing service, that these people that are also going to be here, you are giving opportunity for them to clear up anything in their life, either that they might have been aware of, or maybe that they haven't been aware of some sin or some fault that is within them. And they might never become aware of that, except for the fact that you would ask to be anointed, and that person is going to be in the presence in that crowd that day, that night. So think about that when you have the idea that you don't want to draw attention to yourself. And so often we do that, don't we? And as Mennonites, we've got that one down pretty good. We have, it's like a false humility. And God wants to use us. God has designed each one of us that we can have and will have major impact on other people. And He's designed us so that each one of us has different impact on different people. We don't all have the same impact on the same people. Otherwise, some of us wouldn't be necessary. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There he's talking about confessing your sins to one another and then praying for each other. And probably, again, you ladies have a better grip on this than us men do. Because so often, men, we're maybe more able to just stuff it and just go on with life. Whereas most times, you ladies, with the way you're made up, if you don't say it, another lady is going to come up to you and ask you, because it shows. But for us men, we can put on this stoic face and just stuff it. We all need each other. We all need to confess our sins from time to time. There's things that come in, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, that we're made aware of, and it's like, oh, I need to confess that. I need to get rid of that. And that is such a strength when in this setting here, where you have the anointing service, to where the person being anointed, they might confess if there's something in their life, or there might not be anything in their life. But then the others are their confession going on. And you don't know the strength that you're giving another brother or another sister that's in that group by you confessing something that God has put on your mind that you haven't gotten right, some sin that you have harbored in your life, knowingly or unknowingly. And by you confessing that, then it also gives the courage and the strength for that other person to say, oh, my goodness, I never thought he would struggle with that. I never thought she would struggle with that. Well, if she's willing to confess that, I think I could be safe and confess this issue that I'm dealing with. So when we think of anointing, it's way more than just physical healing for the here and for the now. That's what we think about. We like that because it's like, woo, oh, God is good. It's so great. But God is good whether we live or whether we die. Whether we look at it as shared the other Sunday, things being good or things being bad. We categorize everything. Is it that way with God? God has everything in his control. There is nothing that happens except that he allows it. And so, at the very least, when we get together and we do an anointing service, a time of prayer, a time of confessing, at the very least, it heals our mind, it heals our soul, it allows all the garbage to get out of my life. At the very least, that is a great, great thing, brothers and sisters, to leave from that service. And it's not only you, the one that asked for the anointing, but it's all these others that were here and involved with this. They leave from here and like, wow, I saw God move. Wow, I feel so free because God revealed this to me. And you've heard Brother Dwayne share that repentance, that's what confession is. It's repentance. It's a gift. It's not a curse that God's put on us. It's a gift. How would it be if when we have this sin in our life and we'd have no way, we have no idea what to do with it? That's the problem with people today that are unregenerate. That's the problem with people that do not have the life of Jesus Christ within them. They have no way of turning it loose and getting rid of it. That's why you have suicides. That's why you have so many mental hospitals. That's why you have so many issues and things going on in people's lives. And not always. There are times when I talk about mental hospitals, there are times when there's time for medication and so on. But probably for the most part, people struggle with issues because they don't know who this man called Jesus is. They don't have no way to release that and to turn it over and to be done with it, to be done with that sin. Well, let's look at several things as to what anointing is. Number one, we had already looked at who should do it. We talked about the elders. Another one is, what's it for? And we talked about that. It's for healing, pure and simple. The anointing with oil service, and to do that, it is simply for healing. But it can be physical healing, it can be emotional healing. But what it does the most is it helps us understand and it brings us in right relationship with God, that anything in our life that we clear out and then we give it over to God and say, God, whatever you desire, if you desire to heal me for now in this life, I would love that. And so often that's what we want. But to bring us to the point where we say, but God, if you choose not to heal me, I'm okay with that too. It's not really, I can't feel it right now, but I'm okay with that. But we recognize that God is in control. He is the master. We are in his care, and he's going to provide for us. Well, why do we do it? And we talk about that. The Bible teaches it. And again, it's not a command, but it is something that says you should. And you will be blessed for it if you do it. When do we do it? Well, I already alluded to that too, that it's not a last rite. It's not something we just do and like, they're on their deathbed and they're on the way out, so quick, call the preacher and let's do an anointing. No, let's do it first. Let's do it sooner rather than later. because it does so much more than just that one person that is asking for the anointing. It is also something that when I look at you and I say, Dwight, it looks like you've got this sickness here that you're not getting over. We're going to schedule a healing and anointing with oil for your healing on Wednesday night. You will never hear me saying that to Dwight or anyone else. It is not my responsibility. It's not even my privilege. I think I could go so far as to say it's not my privilege even to go to any one of you and to say, let's have an anointing service for you. The Bible is explicit. It says, let him or her ask. Is anyone sick? Let him or her ask the elders of the church for anointing. So you're going to have to come to me. I'm not going to come to you about it. This morning I'm sharing with you and explaining some of these things to you so that you have more information so you can know when you should ask for an anointing, when it would be appropriate, what's it for? And hopefully we can understand a little bit better what it means there in James. Well, let's go on. What are some biblical parameters that we look at when you deal with the anointing with oil? And I already shared this one. It is not for unbelievers. It is not for someone who is not a Christian. Can't be. It is also not for infants. Because an infant can't ask. Okay? All the people, as I shared already, that are a part of this need to be those who have made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. They have made a profession of Christ and also confessed all their sins. And the anointing, as it's speaking here in James, the anointing with oil is something that is to be applied to or on a person. Okay? It's very specifically talking about anointing with oil on a person. It's not anointing or putting oil of anything on something. There could be other cases to where you might could do that, but even that, there's just certain things that the anointing with oil, as he speaks here, does not, it's not for. You see it in the Old Testament where they anointed the tabernacle, they anointed posts, they anointed different things, objects. And that's a whole other subject. But what he's talking about here is this anointing with oil is for a specific purpose. It is for healing. It is for drawing that person and other persons closer to Christ. Through physical healing, through emotional healing, but mostly that we allow God to have His will and His way. The other thing that anointing with oil is not for, it is not for protection. So to have an anointing service for you or your family for protection over from Satan and from the realms of darkness, it's not for that. It is for healing. It is specifically. Now, again, whole different subject. But for you to gather your family together and you would want to have some brothers get together and pray, have laying on hands, whatever. And to have a time to where you're specifically prayed for protection. And even in the Old Testament, talk about the standing stones. Wesley, you could talk about that. We went through that Ray Vanderlaan series. But there's things that we can do as a sign that helps us go back to that point. There's things that we do that are a sign to Satan and his forces. The head veiling is one of them. And Brother Elvin shared on that the other week. Those are things that protect us from Satan and his evil kingdom. But the anointing with oil is not something that will do that. It's different. It's a specific thing. Again, anointing with oil is something I did not find anywhere in all of Scripture. When you look up those words, anointing, anointed, anoint, that it was ever looked on as a bad thing. It was something that was a positive thing. Psalm 23, very familiar. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, when you think of that passage, Psalm 23, where do you go when you want comfort? You go to Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Oil has the thought of healing, has the thought of just soothing. And if you don't believe it, go out on the beach and lay in the sun for 2 hours and don't use oil. You will want oil after that if you don't have it on before. Oil is always known as something that is a healing balm. It's something that is even refreshing. So when you think of an anointing with oil, it's never something that is a bad thing, but it's a good thing. Psalm 45, verse 7. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your command, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Again, it gives the thought of something that is, it just brings peace. It's something that is joyful. It's something that is calming. It's something that's just reassuring. So this morning, in closing, do you want your eyes opened as Jesus did with the blind man? John 9, verse 11 says, and this is when this blind man was questioned, and I love it. He says, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Just as simple as that. A simple faith, what this man had. He didn't understand what this mud and this spit had to do with his opening his eyes, but he knew that Jesus did something and he opened his eyes. He could see. I once was blind, but now I can see. I trust this morning, as you think of anointing, give it some more thought in the next week, and then as you look back on your life, maybe there's times that you look back and say, you know what? Maybe that would have been a time that I could have or should have asked for an anointing with oil. But let's remember, it is something that God has given us that we can use that benefits us, but it also benefits those that are there. God bless each one of you. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you for the many illustrations you have given us in your word, the different analogies of so many different things. And this morning, as we think of oil, what it does, and how soothing it is, and when we think of this subject of anointing with oil for healing of sickness, God, would you take this message and use it for your honor and glory? God, that each one of us, as we meditate on it, as we think about it, that we would be more aware of this one particular thing that you have given us again for our good and for our benefit and for us, that we can have joy and even have greater joy because of these things that you allow us as your believers to experience. Would you use this message this morning, God, for your honor and glory? Be with each one as we leave from here. Thank you for each one that was here this morning. Keep us in your care, God. Help us to do your will in our lives each day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.